All right, good evening, everyone. What a blessing it is to be here tonight, and what a blessing it is to have the opportunity. Every time I get the chance to preach God's word, it's just something that I didn't take for granted. I appreciate Pastor Parsons for giving me the opportunity tonight to be here behind this pulpit. Thank you for Pastor Carter. Always pray for him, his faithfulness, a man of God. And I always thanks Pastor Parsons and Pastor Carter, but also another man that really influenced my life is Brother Scotty Drake, a man that I really love. I really appreciate him and his wife. Back in the day when I was a missionary, I learned a lot from him, and even when he was down in Chile, when we were in missionaries down there, I got to see him and spend time with him, and it's a blessing to have the opportunity to be around God's people. God put people around you, and I really enjoy that. I really, I think I'm blessed to get to know him and men like him. So thank you again for the opportunity. I know it's a very special night, Super Bowl night, you know, and I know you all want to be out of here as soon as possible, but don't worry. I just have one point with 50 different sub points. So, all right, just kidding. But it's a blessing to be here. Please pray for my wife. It sounds like she lost her voice. This morning she was like, "Hello, honey." And I was like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa." Just kidding, babe. Just kidding. Oh, man. Yes, I'm going to have to put my name again back in the list. Make that marriage great again. Right? Amen. Think I'm going to have to sleep and back in the shed. So, pray for me. Open your Bibles, please, if you will, in the book of John. The book of John, chapter number 9. The book of John, chapter number 9. And we're going to be reading chapter number 9 and verses number 1 all the way to, verse number 4. And then as we move along with the message, we're going to be reading more verses. Right there in the book of John in chapter number 9, verse number 1, the Bible says, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciple asked him, saying, 'Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' Jesus answered, 'Neither had this man sin, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work.'" In verse number 5, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that you've given us to be here tonight. And thank you, God, for allowing us, Lord, just to be here and enjoy the freedom and the blessing. And God, I just pray that at this time, your Holy Spirit will move among us, that you will help us to see, that you will open our eyes to what you have for us tonight. Lord, I know that we have so many burdens, we have so many things in our minds and our hearts. And God, I just pray that you, God, will just enable us just to put all those things aside so that we will be able to hear and understand your word. God, I anoint this message in the name of Jesus. Amen. The message that God put in my heart for me to preach tonight, I'm going to title it, "The Lord, Lord, Open My Eyes." I heard of a man that went to the doctor. And he went to the doctor and he was just panicking and he was just so troubled. And he goes to the doctor and show up in there in his office and he said, "Doctor, doctor, I'm in pain. I'm in so much pain, I don't know what to do. I need your help. If I touch my head, it hurts. If I touch my shoulder, it's an excruciating pain. I touch my knee. Oh, I think I'm gonna die. Please help me, doctor. The doctor looked at him and said, okay, let's run some x-rays. That's what the doctor did. He ran an x-ray from head to toes. And he called the man and said, and then the man walked into the office and said, how bad is it, doctor? I know it's pretty bad. I know I'm gonna die. It's just, how long do I have? A month, a week, maybe days. And the doctor said, no, what you have is a broken finger. Now, sometimes it all depends on how you see things. It all depends on what perspective you see things. Many times we feel like the whole entire world is against us. Many times we feel like God is there, but he is not actually there. Many times we feel like, and we wonder and we question. And many times we feel like, God, why are you doing this to me? As if God has something against us, or as if God is punishing us for some reason. One of the things that we all can agree on, and one of the things that we all as a Christian are agree on, is that the fact that people is in need. Yes, they need food. Yes, they need money. Yes, they need clothing, and they need all of these things. But the most important need of man is the need of a Savior. Salvation, we all know, salvation is not found in anything but in the person of Jesus Christ. Salvation is not in the church. Salvation is not in baptism, although baptism is just a step of obedience. But salvation can only be found in the person of Jesus Christ. And in order for you and me, for you and I to see or to know and to identify the need and to know the need, we first and we must see, open our eyes to see the need. Jesus, right here in chapter number 9, verses 1 through 5, and pretty much verse the whole, most of the chapter, all the way to verse number 37, we see that Jesus was about to open the eyes of a blind man physically. Open the eyes of a blind man. He was about also to open the eyes of his disciples, spiritual eyes of them, to see the need. It's just not for them to point out the obvious. Yes, this man is blind. So what? Jesus was also about to open the eyes of the people around them, those who were wondering, those who we're just trying to understand and trying to make sense of things. And that's how pretty much society is. They don't walk by faith, they walk by sight, and some things that they can't understand, they just try to make sense out of and trying to explain things with logic. But when it comes to God, the only thing that we have to do is just act by faith. And he was also about to open the eyes of the Pharisees for them to see beyond the law and the religious traditions. So we have three groups of people here. The disciples can be the Christians, those who know Christ, those who hang out around Christ, the Word, the neighbors, unsaved people, and the Pharisees, religious people. Number one, I see here the need to open my eyes
to my condition. Verse number 2, the Bible says, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? Disciples was just pointing out the obvious, the problem, not bringing any solution because they didn't have any solution. And they were just so, it seems like, invested in Christ that everything outside Christ was just too much for them to handle. And when they come across this man, who did sin, Master? This man or his parents? That he was born blind? And it seems to, they get into a point where, yes, the man couldn't see. Yes, the man was blind from his birth. But the question was, why this man or who sinned, instead of, can you do something about him, Jesus? And sometimes we get into this kind of a race horror mindset that we just go, 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 and we don't look around and we don't lift up our head and open our eyes to see my own condition. My condition as a sinner, as a man that once was there, but now that we are saved, we are in a new condition, we have a new position before Christ. But again, the disciples were like, well, who did sin, Master? Jesus basically tell them and says in here, Jesus answered, neither had this man sinned nor his parents. But what Jesus was talking about was not talking about the fact that he was sinless. He was talking about the fact that he is the light of the world. And that he was there to intercede, to intervene, and do something for this man, not just pointing out the obvious. How long is it going to take for us just to stop pointing out the obvious and start doing something about it? Yes, we know that the world is on their way to hell, the devil's hell. But what are we doing about it? Yes, sometimes we see people walking around the street and we just wondering and we are just are in awe for the way they look. Yeah, it's normal for a dog to bark. I won't be surprised if a cat will start barking. Then we'll be, oh. A sinner will act like a sinner. Someone that has not Christ in their heart, we can't expect more than that. But who are we to judge their condition? And when the disciples, and when Jesus answered and said, neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. How do I see myself as a Christian? Sometimes we feel because we dress right, we talk right, we do right, we see ourselves as a piece of art that needs to be placed in a museum for everyone to see and with a big sign, do not touch. Because we are better, right? We're better than that. We're not like them. We used to. And again, as long, verse number 5 says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So for the disciples, all of this, these two verses, 3 and 4 and 5, it seems like, Jesus, what are you talking about? What that has to do with the fact that this man is a sinner and he is just paying for his sin? What that has to do with anything else? It seems like we, the disciples, were having one kind of conversation on one side, and then Christ was just having another kind of conversation. what Jesus was about to do was about to show them, not just tell them, not just teach them, but show them. As long as I am the world, let me tell you, I am the light of the world, Jesus said. I said, wait, what? Men live in darkness. And I am here to bring light into the world so the man will come into the light. And I'm about to show you this. And I'm about to prove what I'm saying. Our eyes have been opened to the fact that hell is real. Our eyes as a Christian have been opened to the fact that people need Jesus. And praise the Lord for that. Yesterday, we were soul winning, knocking doors. And we were going down the street, and I saw a house that says no soliciting. Well, it says no soliciting, right? It doesn't say no trespassing, right? It's a fair game, right? So I went in there, and I just knocked on the door. It was my turn, so I knocked on the door. And, you know, nobody came. I left the invitation right there. So as I was walking out, a man opened the door with shorts, no T-shirt on, you know, sinner. Yeah, wasn't surprised. And the man was just outrageous. He was just beside himself. And I say, hey, hello, sir. I'm from Landmark Baptist Church, and I'm here just to, what are you doing in here? And he walked out of the door, and he went outside and pointed the sign and said, don't you know how to read? He spoke Spanish. I could tell because of his accent. And I was like, do you speak Spanish? And he said, don't you know how to read? Blankety, blankety, blankety. I was like, well, sir, I'm not selling anything. I'm just inviting people to church. And he went right inside and slammed the door. What do you do with that? I just keep on going, knocking the door. Praise the Lord. I just went to the next door and knocked the next door. Listen, they're blind. What do you expect? They don't see more than what they have in front of them. If God has shown us the light and one has to go and share that light, don't be surprised if you come across people like that. I am not surprised because it's not the first time that happened to me. After a while, you get used to it, but, you know, first time might be a shocking. First time might be, oh, man, no, I'm quitting. I'm done with this. No. People need the Lord. Number two, I see here the need to open my eyes to the needs of others. Compassion. Verse number six, the Bible says that when he had thus spoken, Jesus, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, go. Wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation, sent. And he went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. The need to open my eyes, the need to open our eyes to the need of others. Two men were talking. And one said to another one, have you seen and noticed what is going on in the world? How immorality and lawlessness seems to be the norm? And the other man answered and said, I don't know and I don't care. You know what that speaks about? Ignorance and indifference. Ignorance and indifference. We don't know and we don't want to know, because if we know, then that will kind of put us in a position where if I got the chance to do something, then I'm kind of forced to do something. ignorance. Ignorance and indifference. We just live our lives in this routine that we are just used to, and we get up every morning and we do the same thing every morning, and we just kind of tune everybody out and we just go on with our lives, and it's better that way because I don't bother nobody, nobody bothers me, and I'm living happy. But again, ignorance, indifference. Christ wasn't ignorant about the need of this man. Christ was not just ignoring the need of this man. And Christ, he knew what the man needed. And Christ was more than able and capable to supply that physical need. And he does. When Jesus passed by, he didn't only pass by, he stopped by and took the time to attend the need of this man. It's time for us so that we can just do the same. If we see the need, what is it going to take for us to take the lead? Are we going to wait for somebody to tell us? Are we going to wait for the instructions, or are we just going to wait for God to show up in our dreams and reveal himself in a whole mighty way when we already know what we need to do? Christ wasn't indifferent about the need of this man, and he jumps right into action to attend the need, not just for the blind man, but for the disciples. And also for us, to make us understand that it's time for you and I to see the things as God sees people. Stop walking around with this judgmental mind about how people act and how they behave. It's time for us to open the eyes and be able to see beyond that and have compassion on them and love them just as Jesus loved us and just like God loves them. Sometimes people will disappoint us. It will. They will break our heart. They will show ingratitude. They will stab us in the back. But the real question is, when that happened, are we doing it for the Lord or are we doing it for ourselves? Sometimes we want to be used by God, or we are just want to use God for our own benefit. Number three, I see here the need to open my eyes to the Lord. Verse 35, let me read in here, and then verse number eight, the neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, "Is not this he that sat and begged?" Verse number 11. And he answered and said, "A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash.' And I went and washed, and I received my sight." This man, this blind man, the only thing he knew is that one day he was blind and now he was able to see. That's the only thing he knew. That was his. He didn't go to college 4 years. He didn't have any doctrinal background about the fundamentals of the Hebrew history and law and all of them. The only thing he knew is that a man called Jesus opened his eyes. To be a witness. He didn't want to argue with anybody. And God didn't call God didn't call us to be a lawyer. God called us to be a witness. A lawyer, what a lawyer does, argues the case. Sometimes we just want to go about and argue with people about the fundamentals of the Word of God. In the beginning, God created the heavens. And we go through the whole thing when God has just called us to be a witness. A witness just share and tells of what he experienced, what he heard, what he saw. And this man was just being a witness. It's no more than that. It's not profound doctrine. It's just be a witness. We see here the unconventional way of God, of Christ, dealing with people. Jesus healed 3 blind men, and in each occasion, he did it in a different way. We see this man here, the clay. And then Mark chapter number 10, verse 52, Jesus said to another one, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And then a third man, he spit on the man's eyes and then put his hands on him, and the man was healed. Right. Now, in neither one of these circumstances, the disciples questioned the methods. What is the point? What is the purpose? Sometimes we just miss the point. Sometimes we are looking at the wrong thing. We are just missing the point. Just like the disciples said, who they sin, this man or his parents in Christ, what I'm about to open your eyes now. I'm about to open this blind man's eyes, but not just his eyes, but also your eyes, so that you will be able to see. And also for us to open our eyes is to realize that who are we to question methods that God uses to deal with people? On each occasion, neither one of his disciples questioned Christ's methods. In 2020, we were told when the pandemic came and COVID and all of that, and we were told to practice social distancing, to stay home, and to follow a set of rules. You needed to stay home. If you were going to the store, you needed to just go to the store and go right back home, just to keep everybody safe and healthy. And many people didn't question that. It's the government. We gotta submit. We gotta obey the government. But when are we gonna start practicing social distancing from sin? And see things the way that God sees them. It's not the government, it's God. When are we going to start breaking for our sins and get on our knees and reestablish the relationship, the fellowship with God, the relationship and fellowship that God desires for us to have with him? To just leave everything aside and just pour ourselves before the Lord and seek him and pray and find the joy and obey without questioning his mandate, without questioning his methods. What does it need to happen? It's up to us. God had already done everything. God had provided everything. Provided a Savior. Jesus Christ. He gave us the Holy Spirit that abide, that indwelled in us. He gave us his word, It's perfect word of God in the King James. What else do we need? Or what else do we want? It is time for us to open our eyes to my condition. That yes, I'm saved by grace. I am not better than anybody else. I just know better. That I'm not going to sin because, not because I'm afraid of this, or I'm afraid of the I'm afraid of the outcome. I'm afraid of being punished by God. I'm not going to sin because God is going to punish me. I'm not going to sin because I'm afraid of the consequences. No, I'm not going to sin because I love God, and I don't really want to break the heart of God. Open the eyes to the needs of others, and open the eyes to see God and what He has for my life. We are in, and there is no need to turn back. I heard the story of the Roman Empire when the Roman Empire was expanding and conquering nations. They will go to islands, these big old ships, and all the Roman soldiers will just get out of the ships, and what they would do, they will just set those ships on fire, and they were pushing right back into the sea. And they were sending this message: we either conquer or die, but we are not going back. It is time for you and I to have the same mentality, the same attitude, the same spirit. We either conquer or die, but we are not going back. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for today. We thank you, God, for the opportunity that you have given us to speak to our hearts. God, I just pray that if there is anyone here that don't know you as personal Savior, that today will be the day of salvation. God, I pray that if there's anybody here that you have spoke to his heart or her heart, I pray, God, that they will take that step, the next step in their lives, and use them. Let's all stand with our eyes closed and